Shayna.
Christopher.
Hey, you know how before the show starts and when no one's listening, I can ask you questions and say things to you?
Yes, secret things, private things, just between the two of us.
I wanted to say, welcome back from Antarctica. I'm so happy to see you.
Thank you, Chris, and Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Welcome to What in God's Name, Antarctica Edition. She is Shayna Appel.
And he is Chris Owen.
We are recasting the narrative of our shared common life together using philosophy and theology.
Pushing past the binaries of the political and the economical conversations which seem to dominate so much of the conversation in our public square, but which do little to bring us to a place where we can actually deal with human flourishing.
You can find out more about What in God's Name on our website homepage. We have a trailer there that you can listen to that'll give you more details about what we're doing. I want to welcome those of you who are listening in the subcontinent of India. We have a pocket of listeners there. Those of you who are listening from Charlottesville, Virginia, welcome. And Palm Coast, Florida, we send our welcome out to all of you beyond New England who are What in God's Name listeners. We're recording remotely today. Shayna is in self-quarantine after traveling on assignment for What in God's Name, reporting on Antarctica as part of our winter 2022 series on climate change and the climate crisis. Shayna, you ready to get into it?
Oh, man. You know, Chris, I don't know, but let's just jump. I mean, I have to be honest with you. This was just a trip that was so otherworldly and so amazing that I am still processing. But maybe this will help.
Just to jump in for a second, can you take a minute and ground us in the kind of the basics, the who, what, when, where kind of stuff, just to get us a little bit grounded?
Okay, well, so a couple of years ago, my sister and I were looking to do a special trip together. It was going to be my 60th birthday and her 65th, but then COVID hit and we couldn't do that. And then we both realized that her daughter, my niece, was going to be 25 at the end of January 2022. And we decided there was a good excuse for a trip. And this one came up, and I was excited to do it in large part because I really did want to see for myself, you know, what the impact of climate change has been. And, you know, just sort of felt like if you've been there and you've seen it with your own eyes, you can speak about it with a little bit more authority, I hope. And, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we left on the 26th. I went with my friend, Reverend Olivia Holmes, and my sister and my niece. We flew down to Orlando. We hooked up with the rest of the folks on our trip and flew down to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost tip of South America in Argentina. We got on a ship. We set sail through Beagle Channel and out into Drake Pass, which some of our listeners will know is the roughest water anywhere on the planet because of the way that the, you know, Atlantic and Pacific come crashing in together there. Sailed there from there to the Shetland Islands, and then actually had an opportunity to do something very few tour expeditions get to do, and that is to travel down the east side of the Antarctic Peninsula. Most tours go on the west side of the Antarctic Peninsula. But we were able to do the east side, and I mean, our expedition crew, you know, they were out of their minds because they study this stuff. They're PhDs in marine biology and ornithology, and they've all been studying Antarctica for years. There was only one of them who had ever been on the east side of the peninsula, so they were absolutely ecstatic about the possibility of going there. The challenging part of that is the reason we were able to go to the east side of the peninsula is that the Prince Gustav Channel ice shelf gave way. So a number of years ago, a Greenpeace vessel circumnavigated St. James Island, and we were going to try to make a pass down that channel all the way to Snow Island, but it was partially iced in, and we had to turn around halfway back, which is, you know, one of the ways you know you're not on a cruise. There are no ports. There are plans. Plans have to be changed all the time. You have plans, you got to change them. It's the nature of an expedition. It's the nature of Antarctica.
I am thinking about how visual a lot of this is, and I'm wondering if we can have your pictures and put them up on the What in God's Name Facebook page so people can see.
Oh, yeah. Certainly we'll put some up.
You have a million, right? I'm sure.
It'd be boring. But there were for sure some interesting things. I mean, for one thing, I saw more penguins, Chris, than I thought existed on the entire planet. We were at one rookery where, God is my witness, there were, I guess a previous crew had come in and estimated that there were roughly 170,000 pairs, mating pairs. That doesn't include all the babies that had hatched, and it doesn't include all the adolescents who are not yet old enough to breed, but, you know, who were out swimming in the water and jumping up and off the glaciers and stuff, which was fun to watch. And that was just one of two rookeries we saw. So yeah, there's a lot of penguins. There are whales. There are seals. There are some flying birds, but there are no animals on the land of Antarctica. There are no polar bears down there. There's no snow foxes or anything like that. It's too unforgiving a terrain. And there are no fish in the sea, only the penguins, the seals, the whales, and like that. So you got to think about these early explorers who went down there, some of whom were shipwrecked and stuck there for a period of time. You know, it wasn't like they had no wood to burn. They had no wood to burn a shelter with, to build a shelter with. The only thing to eat was seal and penguin, and I understand the latter really tastes like crap. Maybe a whale, if you could get one. You got 4 hours of daylight during the winter to fish. You know, the temperature gets to like 50 degrees below zero, and they didn't have the advantage of the technical clothing that we have, you know, nowadays to keep us warm. They were in skins, and, you know, eventually the skins would literally rot off them. So, you know, having been there and seen it and experienced it, it really is, it's like incomprehensible that these early explorers went down there and that anybody survived.
I know from my own experience how refreshing, just to get away from the usual things that we usually see that we just become so accustomed to, and going to a place that is so foreign and so different, it affects, of course, our spirits and just our orientation to this amazing creation. It renews us as well. I'm curious if you had that kind of experience. I'm thinking of how in the Bible stories, Jesus is often like, I've had enough, folks. I'm going to go take a little time away and be in a different place.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely hits refresh. And because the experience is so different, I feel like it's opened up something in me that I have not fully had a chance to process yet, but it's opened up something that was not there. I just, you know, wasn't there. It wasn't open before. I mean, for one thing, I've been using my eyes a lot, you know, this over that last week and a half, really looking at things. And yesterday, I sit in my home a lot, look out that big, beautiful back door onto the marsh. And yesterday I watched my bobcat come up through the marsh. And then the next thing I know, she must have been hunting and she put her kitten in a den. And then she went and got the kitten and I saw the two of them go off across the marsh. And I, you know, maybe I would have seen it anyway, or, you know, or maybe it's just my eyes are in a sort of sharpened mode right now. I don't know. But it was, that was otherworldly.
It's interesting you say that, because as I was preparing for this conversation with you, another Bible story that came to mind was the blind man, in various places in Bible stories, someone who was blind, and now I see. So I'm curious, seeing more sharply, and was there anything revealed to you?
Yes. Oh, God, this? Yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. I'd love to hear more about what you want to share about that.
So the thing I love, there's one story where Jesus heals, returns sight to a blind man, where he's very close to him. It might have been Luke's gospel. He's very close to him. He's so close to him that, you know, certain scriptures say that he spit in his eye. Other scriptures say, you know, he wet his thumb and put his thumb across his eye. And when he does that the first time, he says to the man, "What do you see?" And the man says, "Oh, I see trees. I see people, but they like trees." Like, you know, you got to figure that Jesus is literally inches from this guy's face. And he's asking him, "What do you see?" And the man is not seeing Jesus, that's for sure. So he does it again. And then we're told the man's eyes were open. So I think one of the things that became really clear to me, really on returning and starting to write some and process some of the trip, is a sort of hypothesis I want to play with some as we continue to do our work around climate change. Because one of the questions we've asked is, why is it so hard to have these conversations? And why is this even a conversation? Why, on the one hand, it seems like such a no-brainer. If we destroy the planet, we destroy ourselves. We know this. It's not a mystery. And the climate deniers don't even have the political heft that they once had. It's almost a foregone conclusion that climate change is happening, and we have to stop it, and we have to stop it quickly, and yet still nothing is happening. But one of the things that struck me, you know, when I got back, was that the thing that was right in front of my eyes that I couldn't see before was that I haven't really allowed myself, I don't think, to be as emotionally impacted by climate change. Almost like, if we open our eyes, if we really see it, we'll be knocked to our knees in tears. We would weep, you know. Yeah, very emotional revelation.
I can feel the power of your emotion as you speak, and I can relate to times when experiences, powerful experiences, like what you've had in Antarctica, can just open us up in ways that are just so true and beautiful and humanizing. Like the power of your feeling of this, and the power of your words to talk about it, among other things, is deeply humanizing. And just the privilege of me to be in conversation with you, and then for our listeners to hear you speak with such power, that is a gift that then we hope. I mean, whenever we come in contact with someone who is operating from that level of deep humanity, which is, from a theological perspective, that's where God is, in our deepest humanity. And so to get there helps us all go there.
And, well, that's what it felt like. I mean, it's so wild, Chris. It is so vast and so radically unforgiving. I mean, our trip down, we had a fairly smooth sail across the Drake Passage. On the way back, definitely not as rough as it could be, but, you know, we were in 20-foot swells, and this is in a modern ship, designed to navigate Drake Passage. And there was one point where we were sitting at lunch, looking out the window, my sister, my niece, Olivia, and myself, you know, four idiots looking out the window going, oh, cool, look at that, as this huge wave was going to come and slap up against the window. And we're on the fourth deck, right? And we're looking going, oh, cool, right? Well, that thing hit and everything on the table, and in fact, everything in the dining room flew. Like, I literally grabbed, you know, everything. I just like laid down on the table, but you could hear plates and everything flying across the room. It's just a level of wilderness that, I mean, I get Jesus went into the desert, I went to Antarctica, but yeah, if you can't encounter God there, then I don't know what to tell you. But it was a very, very holy experience. And I told you before we got on the air, New Year's Day, I had gotten up early, and I guess most people on the ship were still sleeping. It was a big party, New Year's Eve. And I was alone up in this beautiful observation deck called the Dome, the whole front of which is glass, as we were traveling down Prince Gustav Channel. That's the channel that the ice shelf broke apart that allowed us to be on the eastern side of the peninsula, which is both amazing. We can be on the eastern side of the peninsula, and horrifying because, I mean, we're looking at icebergs out there that are the size of aircraft carriers, literally, and bigger. Icebergs that are the size of city blocks. So you begin to understand the consequence, or the massive impact of an ice shelf like this breaking apart, and what it must have taken, because the ice shelf itself was magnificent and huge and deep. And, you know, this place is so wild and it's so vast and it is so unforgiving, and yet humanity seems to be screwing it up anyway. So I don't know that we have fully taken responsibility for our power. I'm starting to think that perhaps part of the problem around the whole discussion, the public discussion of climate change, has to do with the fact that people are terrified and that they can't confront their terror. I mean, that's my working hypothesis anyway, having come back. It's so awesome. It's like, you know, the people who cowered, you know, we don't want to hear the word of God, Moses, you go, you go listen to God. You know, it's too much for us. It's too terrifying.
Fascinating. As you were speaking, I was reminded, and I'm sure you will remember, a couple of seasons ago, our shows on wonder and awe, and how important it is for us to be in touch with our sense of wonder and awe. And the other thing I thought was, when we're in touch with that wonder and awe, how in touch we become to the preciousness of life itself and the preciousness of creation. That's what your speaking, your witness, awakened in me.
Well, it's always amazing too, like in that experience of wonder and awe, the illusion of separateness is one of the things that tends to crumble, you know, in that moment. Part of the experience of wonderment and awe is that sense of connectedness. And so to have that broken down, I think like previous experiences of wonder and awe haven't been as long. We were on that ship for 9 days. Just to constantly have your mind blown away. And, you know, we had these wonderful scientists on board with us. We had some really interesting discussions and coming to understand, you know, underground volcanoes. There's one island southwest of the Shetlands called Deception, and it's actually an underground volcano, and it's active. But you sail, your ship comes in, it's like almost fully surrounded. There's just like a little opening to get in. So it's a very protected harbor in that part of the world, which is invaluable. But you sail into the caldera. And it's an active volcano. It's, you know, it was 8 days of awe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me check my understanding with one thing you said, because I think today is a day where we're not going to disagree about anything. What I heard you say about fear, I wanted to circle back to, because I think that's an important piece. Your working hypothesis that, and so here I want to check my understanding, is it your hypothesis that with regards to climate change, we have, as a society, fear, enough fear about the ramifications of it that we don't allow ourselves to be touched by the issue? Am I on the right track
at all? I think, and I haven't totally worked it out, but I think what you're saying is helpful, you know, in my own understanding that, yeah, I think it is sort of so close to the bone, and the change that is, because the change that's going to be required to turn this around is monumental. Our lives will not look like they did before. You cannot have entire systems built on greed. You cannot have, capitalism has to radically adjust. And I think it can and still be prosperous, but it's got to radically adjust its focus. Yeah, we're seeing some of that, certainly. You know, I mean, my God, Ford is marketing an electronic pickup truck, which is, you know, fabulous. And I'm, you know, I thought I'd wait a year or so for them to work the kinks out. But now I'm like, get me in line to get online to get one. It's going to require a radical change on the one hand. On the other hand, I would say to us as a human race that globally we are in the midst of a radical change, not a real happy one. This COVID thing has, you know, turned everybody's lives upside down, but we're still here and we're still functioning and we're still surviving. And I think, you know, this pandemic is Earth's last, you know, gift to us to say, guys, you can do this. Yes, it's going to be hard, but you can make the change, and you have to make the change, because if we don't, this whole thing will come to a crashing halt. I mean, they're looking right now at Thwaites Glacier, which I believe is on the southwestern side of the continent. They call it the Doomsday Glacier. And scientists are saying, you know, within 10 years, that thing's going to fall apart. And when it does, you know, kiss Southern Florida goodbye. And of course, that's, you know, that's just within the continent of America. There's obviously other places and other nations that are already going underwater. So that's a reality. And of course, all of that is terrifying. All of that is absolutely terrifying. And so it's easy to put our fingers in our ears and say, la, 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 I can't, I just can't. It's more than my little heart can bear. I can't, you know, what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves, quite literally.
A little feature of today's show that I wasn't expecting is that it's kind of the Jeopardy show in this regard, Shana. You've given answers before I could ask the question that your answer was appropriate for. You did that with the vision and the blind man and that whole story, and you did it again when my last question was to be, but you've already answered it. But I'm going to give you another chance.
Maybe because we've been working together so long now, we're having, you know, high...
It's the mind meld. Thinking of you going to Antarctica, I felt I was reminded of Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey, that paradigmatic kind of archetypal story. Mm-hmm. The hero, the heroine, goes off on a big adventure and returns with some wisdom. And you really have shared with us already, I think, what the wisdom is for you, and shared it with us. And I just give you one more shot at it. Any wisdom that you want to share about our common life together? You've already done it, so so it's kind of,
you know,
it's a little redundant, but you can sing, like, it's like the chorus. You can sing it again.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, honestly, I'm so up against my own emotional stuff with this that I have to I mean, no one likes, it's not comfortable to be up against your, you know, emotional stuff. And I think as a culture, you know, at least here in the United States, we're cultured to turn away from that, which is uncomfortable. And I think I have to lean in. I have to continue to lean into this. I think there's more that's going to become clear on the other side or at points along the way through. But I would just, you know, I had a very wise teacher when I was doing my marriage and family counseling program at Southern Connecticut State University. And she said, you know, true growth comes when we run headlong towards that from which we would rather run away. So running at the stuff that is uncomfortable, running at the stuff that we, you know, our gut instinct tells us to run away from, you know, unless it's like a saber-toothed lion or something, in which case fear is a good thing. But to turn towards the stuff that's uncomfortable and to be willing to lean into it, to be willing to have our hearts broken, shattered into 1,000 pieces, trusting that they will be put back together, which again, you and I have talked about so often, is a part of that Christian journey through Holy Week, right? You know, we come through the season of Lent and then Holy Week, which allows us to, you know, get to the Alleluia moment Easter morning. But that becomes a muscle memory where you become a little bit more at ease with allowing your heart to be shattered into 1,000 pieces because you do trust that it will be put back together in some way, shape, or form. Not the same as it was, but different and better and more resilient and more mature and more faithful and more. I mean, I think the earth is speaking to all of us. I don't think you necessarily have to go to Antarctica to hear it, although I would say if you're as dense as I am, then getting it through a megaphone like, you know, Antarctica helps. But I think we can all tune in and pick up on what's going on if we're willing to be up against our own discomfort and our own fear. And, you know, maybe come to realize we're not alone in it. We're not alone in it. So let's get together and do something productive with it rather than keep running away from it.
Thank you for bringing your full self into this conversation today. And Shana, from my point of view, you have had an authentic and powerful experience of the presence of God, our Creator. And you have come back and given witness to that, to that encounter.
Something I hope to continue to be able to do for some time anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a gift. Be curious.
Go deep.
And shine light.
You have spent the last 26 and a half minutes once again with Chris and Shana at What in God's Name, and we're so glad that you did. We want to invite our listeners to head over to our sponsor at Patreon, if you can, and make a contribution to help us do what it is that we're doing. Chris, you want to give folks that information?
Patreon.com, and you can enter What in God's Name in the search bar and find us there. We give a big thank you to Brandon Edwards, our amazing associate producer. And Shana, we need to thank our corporate sponsor today, Scapegoat Pain Reliever, tablet or time release capsule. Don't take responsibility, find a scapegoat. Scapegoat Pain Reliever at CVS, Rite Aid, and all fine drugstores. Remember, if you're in pain, don't blame Shana or me. Find a scapegoat today.
Find a scapegoat, yes.
Great to be with you, Shana.
Good to be with you, Chris.